today's passage, which is found in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
I don't really want to speak too much about what's in the book. That's for you to read and get into and tease out and enjoy during the week. So I'm going to paint a sort of broader picture and then just a few things at the end where we might be lacking and where we could ask God to help us. So first of all, I've got a statement. God calls us to things that only he can do. And what's more, he has chosen not to do those things without you. C.S. Lewis put it like this. "He seems to do nothing of himself which he can possibly delegate to his creatures. He commands us to do slowly and blunderingly what he could do perfectly and in the twinkling of an eye." Profound statements. And we could spend all day thinking about that and that. But I just want to... God calls us to things that only he can do. And yet, he calls us to, in this, doesn't he, in our passage this morning, he calls us to make people followers of Jesus. He calls us to make disciples. Only God can make people born again. And yet he calls us. You see, God has a plan. It was the same plan in the beginning and on through history. And that is, God created the earth and he divided the land from the sea and he populated the world with plants and trees, with animals and birds and all the creatures of the fish of the sea. And at the top of his creation, he creates human beings. Men and women, he created them. And he told them to rule or steward or look after his world in close relationship with God himself. And he walked with Adam in the cool of the evening, and God said all that he had done and created and purposed was good. I can't imagine what it was like to be in the garden, really, and God there with you, sort of idea. It doesn't actually say that he walked together in the cool with Adam and Eve, but it's sort of inferred. He definitely spoke to them whilst they were in the garden and instructed them and told them things. And when it does say that he came and they heard the noise of the Lord coming to walk in the cool of the garden, it's as if they knew what was happening. It was a thing that had happened and they expected that he spent time with God in that way. But the time that it's written that he did that, it says that they hid themselves from him. Why? Well, they'd done the one thing that God had told them not to do. They'd ate at the one tree that he told them to leave alone, the tree of good and evil. And because of it, they got separated from the present and the relationship that they had with God. And what we call the fall happened. A man separated himself from that relationship with God. And he was ashamed and he hid. And God came looking for him in the garden. And because of the consequence of what Adam had done and Eve had done, they couldn't stay in the garden in the presence of God anymore. God banished them from the garden. as much for their own safety and their own good. But when he banished them, he didn't abandon them. He went with them. And through people like Abraham and Moses, he created a people again for himself. And he gave them a king, David, who was after his own heart, it says. And yet the people were fallen. They were separated. They didn't know this God like they should do. Even David committed murder and adultery. And yet God didn't give up on them. Because he has a plan. Remember? His plan for God and man to be in close relationship, ruling, stewarding, looking after the earth and all that's in the earth. And so in the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of a virgin. Both man and God, Jesus. And through his life, his teachings, his example, his death and his resurrection, God makes a way through which God and man and woman can be rejoined, reunited in relationship once again. And we can know the joy and acceptance of knowing God as Father. How? Because Jesus bore our sin, carried it away. He enabled us to know that forgiveness, to be born anew into God's kingdom. It's we come home. We're back. But we're back in the plan. We're back in with relationship with God to rule, to steward, to look after the earth and all that's in it. Only there's a difference or a defect, if you like, to the plan. That is, only some have yet come to be born again to this living hope. Others are still lost in their sin and folly, separated from God, as once we were, formerly walking according to the course of this world, living the lusts of our flesh and of the mind. We were children of wrath as the rest, but God, being rich in mercy and love with which he loved us even when we were dead in our sin, has made us alive in Christ. By grace we're saved, we're raised up, we're seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. By grace, we are saved through grace. And if that isn't good news, then I don't know what is. And there's even more, because it's the plan again. God does that for us, not only because he loves us and longs for us to know him, but also that through us, he might show to the ages to come how great are the riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. It's the plan again. Through us and in us, God wants to show forth his greatness to his world. But God has chosen us to do the things that only he can do, but he has chosen not to do them without us. This partnership, this wonder that God would use you and me. There's a bit more than just him showcasing us to the world, you know. We're also commanded to go. Go and tell. Somehow be involved. You see, we're living in, the age, aren't we, of salvation, the year of the acceptable time of the Lord, a time of the Lord's favour, a time when people can still respond to God. You see, there will be, Jesus' death and resurrection has ushered in the kingdom, hasn't it? The kingdom of heaven is amongst you. It's here, but it's not yet fully here. Why? Because God wants all people to come to repentance and be saved. As he says in 1 Timothy and 2 Peter, he longs for people to know him. And he wants people to come to repentance and be saved. And he wants us to go and share and tell our story about this saving grace and get as many people into his kingdom as we can. See, there will be a time when there'll be a reckoning, a judgment for all of us, whether we're in or out of his kingdom. And when God will say to you, what have you done with this man, Jesus? That's to come for everybody. But now, we're ordered to speak out salvation to everybody so that they can come into the goodness of his kingdom. There's a verse in scripture that says a wise scribe takes out old and new from his storehouse, something like that, of riches. So I'm going to practice that verse a minute and bring forth an old song. Not that old, it's written in the 70s. By Larry Norman. And it says this: if you know a wonderful story, you don't let it go unsaid. You tell it to your children when you tuck them into bed. If you've got a wonderful secret, you're going to tell it to your friends, because a lifetime filled with Jesus is like a street that never ends. So sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation. Tell it everywhere. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation to people everywhere. And I can't remember the rest. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation to every man in every nation. Sing that sweet, sweet song of salvation and let the people know that Jesus cares. We get caught up in it as if it's a drudgery or a command that we can't face. Jesus has set us free. Jesus has forgiven us. How can we not tell? I think it's because sometimes we get a bit frightened at the word like nations. You know, go forth and make nations, you know. Tell the nations, bring the nations. Well, God can take care of the nations. We can just tell our story where we are to one another, to our friends. And if our friends get saved and they tell others, wildfire. Mind you, dream big. There might be the next John Wesley or Billy Graham or somebody sat here. So don't limit God, but get on with what he's given you to do. Why, though, do we find it so hard? Well, we just talked about a bit of the reasons. Well, I've got three sort of reasons. I'm pretty sure there's tons, but three things come to my mind. And three sort of positives afterwards, if you like. First of all, it's that we can have a lack of our understanding of the immensity of our own salvation. We forget, sort of thing. We get comfy, familiar. Wheel it out for church. And we forget where we were and what we were without God's love in our lives. And if that happens and we lose sight of Jesus, then it immunes us to the dire needs of others as well, sort of idea. So we can lose a lack of and just how great our salvation is for us. Secondly, we care for ourselves in this day and age more than we care for others. It's just the way we are. Life today is so much about me, at the end of my selfie stick, taking a picture of me doing something that I enjoy, sort of idea. It's my salvation, my Jesus, my blessing, my walk with God. God calls us to love others. And thirdly, fear. fear of speaking out and being different and saying things. It says in the passage, he makes note of it in the book, so I don't really want to talk about it too much, but it says, they saw him and they worshipped him, but some doubted. And it says in the message, a good paraphrase of that, and I'm going to paraphrase the paraphrase almost because I didn't write it down properly. It said, some worshipped him, but some doubted. But in the message it said, not sure about worship. Some were not sure about worship, not trusting him totally. I thought that was quite an interesting sort of little thing out of it. Some worshipped, but some still doubted. Well, if you worship, you're meant to be giving God your all. And the people that doubted, there's a sense of, can I really trust God with all of it? And if we can't trust God with all of what we are, for all that we need and all that we need to be doing, then there's a place where fear of people and things can come in and stunt us, if you like. So, three antidotes. Here we go. One, fall in love with Jesus again. Ask him for fresh eyes to see him. As we see him, we hear the call to go again. We looked earlier in the year, Isaiah 6. Isaiah said, it was the year that King Uzziah died. I was in the temple and I saw the Lord. And then at the end of it, God says, oh, go. And Isaiah said, I'll go. I think he got a bit duped, really, because he had to go and speak to people who weren't going to listen, whose ears were going to be blocked. I mean, it wasn't an easy call. But he'd seen the Lord. And we need to ask to see a fresh vision of Jesus in our lives. We can fall out of not seeing Jesus in the right way, but by stuff going on in our lives as well. And we need to make sure that we keep close to him and not to other things. I've had quite an interesting week this week. There's some bits of stuff that have gone on in my life, and it's sort of made me not see properly, if it's just to put it in those terms. I don't want to get too personal from a pulpit, but this week God sort of challenged me to repent. It says in his word, doesn't it, when I kept silent about my sin, my body was like groaning. It says you lose all vitality, like you're in the heat of a summer fever. You can't go on because you keep silent about your sin. But when I confessed my sin, you find that he's ready to forgive you. If you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, or if you're not doing something you should be doing that God's been speaking to you about, then I urge you to confess. Talk to some others about it as well, because what you'll find is a loving relationship, prayer, and that bit of change and help you to revision yourself. So fall in love with Jesus again. Secondly, ask God for a heart for the lost. There used to be a song that said, I don't know the song any more than this, teach me to love the unlovely, O Lord, as only you can. Teach me to love the people I really don't like at all. Do we love the lost, as we call them? Do we love the people out there? Or have we just got an agenda? And if they don't match the agenda, well, we pass them by. I can remember years ago when we used to do the clear up days. Can you remember when we used to have the skips and all the rest of it? And we used to go out and help the people around the area. Good times. But also at that time, I can remember some of us sort of saying, well, it's all right doing it, but if we don't get the response, you know, that we're after. And of course, there's a time when God starts you doing something and then he stops something. But you can't love people just to get a response from them, the response you want. God loves all mankind, whether they follow him or they don't follow him. He longs that they come after him. It's not an agenda. And sometimes we're called to go, and we have a reluctance to go because, I don't know how to put it, I'm thinking of Jonah. Jonah said, I'm not going to go, Lord, because if I go and speak to those people in Nineveh, you're just going to save them. And he didn't, you know, he didn't have that heart for them. He thought that they should be judged. God's heart is different. Jesus loved us right to the end, even to death on the cross. Sometimes we try, and I had a person at work a few years ago that I had great difficulty with, and I really, really did try to change my feelings and love them and all the rest of it, and it didn't really happen, to be honest. Though I did, you know, there was times I tried, and that person finally left. But sometimes I think it's easier the other way round. If we ask God that we get a sense of his longing for his world, and somehow we seek that, and God grants something of that to us, then we can almost drill that down afterwards to the people that we find difficulty with. I think we need to dream big, ask God to give us a passion for the people who need him. And finally, fear. Well, we all fear man's opinion or hold back from feeling awkward or from fear of failure. We speak out and, you know, it doesn't happen. Or the fear that God isn't fully with us. It says in the passage, don't forget, I'm with you, even to the end. But I've got a piece of armor for you. It's not from Ephesians 6, it's from Isaiah 59. This is a piece of armor to protect us against fear, if you like. 59 verse 17, well 16, let's start there. He saw there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no one to intercede. So his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head, and garments of vengeance for clothing. And he wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. We were looking the other night at Jesus in the temple, and how it was when he cleared the temple out, and it was said he will have the zeal of the house for the house of the Lord will consume him. Zeal instead of fear, zeal. Get righteously zealous for the things of God, and we can ask God to give us that sense that it's his glory that matters, it's his purposes, it's his world. So that's it, really. Oh, one final thing. It does say in the passage about baptism. And if there's any here who have recently come to faith or just have never quite got round to baptism, then maybe it's about time you spoke to somebody about it again. Because we're too willing. Father, we've identified some things that may be lacking in us and some things that we long for from you. We thank you that you are a good Father and that we can come to you in this way. We can come to you without fear of just being sort of told off and squashed. We can come to you and you forgive us and you restore us. You envision us. You empower us. You go with us. So we just ask you, Lord, that you will help us to reach out to the folk around us, that you would help us to tell our part of the story to our friends. We just ask that you fill us, Lord, with your love and your compassion for your world and all that's in it as well, Lord Jesus. Help us to be stewards of your kingdom on this earth. So be with us as we depart and for the rest of the day. And thank you for your kindness towards us. Amen.